News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You know, it's got to be Saturday because here we are one more time sitting
That's
here.
That's right. Melissa, it's dried out from this rain we've had, which is wonderful.
I'm ready to get wet again, frankly. We need that stuff.
Yeah, we're supposed to get some more a day, I think.
I'll take it anytime you can give it to us. As hot as it's been in El Paso, we got history that's even hotter. Ha,
that's
ha,
right.
How about that for a transition? Texas history begins in El Paso, and we're here to prove it.
That's right.
One more time. And we got that out there, obviously, 690 KTSM. AM 690 is a big transmitter in El Paso. It's actually got 10,000 watts on AM. You can hear that thing. I've heard it on the other side of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yeah, I've heard it way out in Arizona.
Yes, so it's there. So find us there, but there's another place.
The best place to hear us is at ktsmradio.com, and you can click on the iHeart radio link, and you can connect to your smartphone, your tablet, your computer, and you can take us anywhere you go in the world. In fact, we have people around the world that listen to this show. Hello, everyone out there in the world.
They actually do.
Maybe they're at the Olympics. Hello.
Well,
hola.
If you want, you can Facebook us because that's free, and we'll take a look at that today. We're on El Paso History Radio Show today. That looking at?
I've got it.
Because I don't have mine this morning, but you take a look.
Oh, your computer free.
Well, no, I had a talk this morning over at the Cathedral High School, the alumni. That was kind of fun. But I didn't have
so all it's my taking a rest.
Well, I had other stuff to carry today. So it was, and I thank those guys for the morning burrito. Thank you very much. But also trivia today. We're going to do that.
Yes, we are. We're going to do lots of trivia because we've got the first hour. We've got $20 in gift certificates for Pepe's New Mexican Food in Canutillo, or you have a choice of getting a El Paso Gold video, and I can't even count them all now that you've got so many sitting.
Well, I brought them all in. Not quite.
But Waco tanks and the ghost stories and Tom Lee's El Paso. I said Waco tanks, didn't I? Legends of El Paso's Mountains, which, of course, is good because we're going to be talking about
Well, somebody
mountains.
Said, you know, you don't bring in enough your videos for us to give a choice. Okay, here they are.
Oh, yeah, they got to come in here and read them all.
Well, then win one, and then we'll read them to you. How's that sound?
There you go.
All right, history is it is. We have a unique situation in El Paso of our history, and if you didn't figure that out yet, history has its own radio show here in this town.
We're just a history book. Everything you got the people that came here, you got all the ancients, you got all the great stuff. Every chapter is a different story.
Anybody that wanted to promote their city would be wild about having what we have.
Yeah.
And we have it by about times 20. One of those in that rank of things to be proud of is the El Paso Museum of Archaeology.
Yes.
Not too many people have one, as we understand it. So
not
we're going
nice
to find out from a new guy. His name is Jeff Romney. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Welcome here.
Thanks for having me.
And you're the new guy at the Archaeology Museum.
I am the new guy. Just started a few days ago.
What's your title?
Director.
So, but you're not a new guy to El Paso.
No, I've been here for about 14 years.
Museum history.
Yes, I've been at the Museum of Art for the last 10 years as the Director of Development with the Museum and Cultural Affairs Department.
Well, so you're just sort of making kind of a lateral move, but actually it's an up move, really.
Because that's just your background. What was your background in?
My background is in anthropology, archaeology degree from Brigham Young University with a focus in Southwestern archaeology and Native American studies. So I'm really excited about this opportunity and moving out to archaeology.
I think he's qualified.
What have you looked into personally on your quest for a degree? What did you look to study?
Well, my passion, my focus has been the archaeology of the Southwest, but principally northwestern Mexico, the Casas Grandes culture, Paquime, the ruins that are not too far south of here. And so that's really what I have focused on. I've also enjoyed learning a lot about the Hopi culture up in Arizona as well. I have a passion for that.
And neat people.
Yeah. Isn't it likely that much of those groups also came through here at some point? Because you're finding feathers from Casas Grandes up in New Mexico and vice versa and all that kind of stuff. They were trading things, weren't they?
Well, it's a fascinating history. There's been a lot of contact and trade and traveling between the groups for many hundreds of years. And there's still ongoing debate about how much influence came out of Mesoamerica, but certainly amongst the Pueblo people, the Hohokam, the Mogollon, and others, there was definitely contact.
Yes, definitely.
The Hohokam are primarily, we think of Hohokam?
Hohokam.
Arizona.
Yes, yes, over in Arizona. They go about as far east as about the New Mexico border.
Somebody told me that Three Rivers was built by those people. I'm thinking, well, I don't know enough to say no, but that's pretty far range. What is your thought?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not real sure.
Have you been to Three Rivers?
Yeah.
Okay, so Three Rivers is up north of 54, basically. Yeah. It's just off of 54, past Tularosa. And it's an ancient site of rock art.
I think we're probably looking more about a Mogollon influence there as opposed to Hohokam.
Okay, who showed up in El Paso of all those people we just said?
Well, in prehistoric times, it was the Mogollon culture. Specifically, we refer to them as the Jornada Mogollon in this region.
Jornada being the one from central New Mexico?
Yes. Basically, the region is right here in the El Paso area. It goes a little bit further east, not too far north, and then swings west and goes down to about Villahumada and Chihuahua. So that's the Jornada Mogollon region. Now, the term Mogollon is a broader term of peoples, which is a much bigger cultural zone. The Casas Grandes people, for example, are part of the Mogollon culture.
I didn't realize it went that far south.
Mm-hmm.
Let me clear up one thing. What is the difference between Pacime and Casas Grandes?
Well, it's one and the same.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. So it wasn't just me. Okay.
It's really one and the Dr. Charles DePeso pretty much named it Pacime, which has its Mesoamerican roots.
How does that translate?
Well, big houses, basically.
Big houses, okay. Yeah. And Casas Grandes is Spanish for big houses.
Big houses.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's big. I actually went wandering through there, and I wish they could somehow protect that adobe from melting further, but they can't. It's not protected.
Well, they do a lot of reconstructive work. After the monsoon seasons, they do a lot of replastering of the walls. So ever since it became a World Heritage Site through UNESCO, it's definitely been taken care of a lot okay. more. So about, you know, give it another 2 or 3 months and they'll start replastering over the winter period and have it ready to go.
Weren't they talking about putting a cover like they've done in Arizona on some of the ruins over there?
There have been some discussions on that,
yeah.
But the Casas Grandes ruins down in Chihuahua are so large that I don't know if that would be practical.
Yeah.
You could save some of it. So the influence of those kind of people was all over the Southwest. Again, how many of them showed up here? Did those people transit through here? Did they just come visit? Did they come trade? Did they never show up? What?
Well, we know that there was some trading going on. There was communication between all these groups because, you know, we find El Paso polychrome, which is, you know, made by the Jornada Mogollon in this region. You can find some of those examples in our cases at the Museum of Archaeology. But we find that pottery down in the Casas Grandes area. You find the Casas Grandes pottery here and further up all the way up into, Colorado and as far south as the down where the Aztecs were. So there was a lot of...
You almost said Teotihuacan, didn't you?
Yeah, I meant Tenochtitlan.
Tenochtitlan. But the whole group of people that was through here, the ones that we would have to call locals when the Spanish arrived, they were referred to as Mansos and Sumas. I believe names given by the Spaniards, not necessarily what these people thought of themselves.
Yes, that's correct. And there were also the Conchos and the Tarahumaras.
The Tarahumaras were the south.
A little bit further south.
And Conchos?
The Conchos are also further west. And also
okay.
east.
Who came from the east? The Comanches didn't show up this far, did they?
The Comanche are more to the north, up in the Panhandle area, up in northern Texas.
Oh, who does claim this is the Kiowas? The Kiowas claim a chunk of Waco, Texas, as one of their stomping grounds. I remember that part.
Well, you know, they were migrating with the herds, okay. And so they had a vast territory.
Yeah, speaking they traveled a lot.
Speaking of herds... The idea of having buffalo running around Waco tanks, that's a reality from way back in history, as I understand it.
That's correct. We actually had buffalo all the way down into the Casas Grandes region, too.
Wow. A lot of buffalo. So buffalo roamed here in El Paso.
Yeah, well, in this area, yeah, definitely. And also down by Janos, Chihuahua, there's still herds.
So what are the natural herds to that area?
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of the herds down there were recently introduced, but I don't think they ever fully died out because there are accounts of buffaloes in some of the early Mormon diaries and stuff like that.
Here's the deal. If we get tired of the El Paso Chihuahuas, we could become the El Paso Buffaloes.
I think so.
And it'd be accurate. That's amazing history there.
And don't get in their way.
No, please don't. The whole idea of El Paso history is fascinating to a lot of people. One thing about this radio show is we take it apart and talk about it like this. You never hear this anywhere else until we come to a lecture maybe at the Archaeology Museum. I take it you're going to be doing new things. You've been there, what, a total of 3 days?
I've been there about three.
3 days.
He solved everything. All the problems. He's ready to go.
Let's get the new kid. Okay, new kid. But you're going to start doing, you know the culture, you know the history, you know the system, so now it's just a matter of working it, I guess.
Well, I'm very excited to be working with my new team out there. I have a great team. We have a wonderful facility. It's definitely one of El Paso's jewels. And we have some big plans in store. We're wanting to make some improvements in our gallery spaces over the next year to 2 years, where hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit more with our exhibition programming, which I think the El Paso community will be very happy with.
What does that mean, exhibition programming? Outreach? Going to schools? What?
Well, possibly, but also I'd like to start bringing in a little bit more traveling exhibitions from other organizations, getting things on loan from other institutions, and developing a little bit more partnerships with some of the regional centers.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Where are you going to put that? Because you have the atrium auditorium kind of thing. Then you got the gallery that's around it. Then you got the permanent gallery on the other side of the building. You need some more space?
Well, right now, at the moment, we're looking more at casing as opposed to space. We're looking at improving the casing on the wall, the cases on the walls.
Okay.
In time, we'd like to have maybe some updated cases. Larger cases, maybe put them on the floor in different areas. So
better lighting and stuff.
You're talking about a box full of old stuff is what you mean. You mean a case. A display case.
A display case. That's what I mean.
I mean, people, oh, a case. Was that a fugitive from justice?
No. A display case.
Well, there's a lot to a museum, and I take it you've probably seen all those parts at one time or another. You're ready to rock.
I'm ready to rock.
Good. So the Archaeology Museum being what it is, we have talked briefly here, and before the show we were talking about how unusual it is to have a museum like that. And you know the history? I mean, was there a mayor that put up the land? It was Hervey.
I think it was Fred Hervey.
Harvey was the Harvey girls.
I know.
Hervey was the mayor.
Fred Hervey. Yeah.
We did that radio show. And the thing is, the guy just decided to do it out of his own pocket. And you know, we got one of those guys now buying buildings downtown. Maybe he'll buy us a museum. What do you need in the way of a museum? Would you like an addition? Paul Foster, we need an addition. But no, the thing was that mayor did put up the money, I believe, for the building as well as the land.
Yeah.
And so he must have made a deal with the Army to clear that ordinance out there, because obviously there it is.
Well, I think it's like we were talking earlier, is having the funds to do these kind of things. And what you're saying is that we're one of the unique ones. Most are now privatized, correct, in cities?
Well, that is a national trend. It's not just a national trend. It's a global trend where our cultural institutions are having to fund themselves more and more each day. A lot are privatizing. We are very fortunate here in our area that we have a very supportive city government and municipality which supports our cultural institutions to a very large degree. So in that sense, we are becoming unique almost. There's not a whole lot left in the United States that are that way. So I count us as being very fortunate. But we also have to raise a lot of money to, for example, all of our educational exhibition programming and such are things that all three museums have to raise. That's not something that's tax-based.
Just like the History Museum and such. Now, do you have a foundation out there?
We don't yet, but that is something that we will be doing.
Which is great. And foundations help organizations like your, like you said, for those exhibits. You get sponsors this way, and money goes in, and it helps. You know, it's a place for people to donate and help a museum.
It's something that we've begun to talk about. We don't have any specifics, surely, at the moment. But
you take a check for $1 million right now, I bet.
Yeah. Of course.
Oh, yeah.
But don't
make
it
out. Don't make it out to Jeff. Not quite right. But no, a donation would be accepted. Would you take artifacts if somebody had artifacts?
Well, we do have a process where if somebody's interested in donating an artifact or something cultural, we do have a review process where those items are initially reviewed by a panel, an accessions committee, if you will, and also our curatorial department.
You may not need them.
And in some cases, they may not fit our collection scope. Right. We may already have a number of examples of the same type, but we don't have the space. We also have to be very careful that the archaeological collections being presented to us are legal.
Yeah,
yeah, there's
that
the
that they
other
were
one.
Acquired legally. And so sometimes that can be an exhaustive process to review and research before we are able to accept those.
Yeah,
because
I know museums have had problems with that over the years where they took a collection and found out either half of it or part of it was illegally purchased from someone else or was stolen. So.
Right.
Yeah, there was a time when that was not illegal. Way back in the 20s.
Yes. Well, before the early 70s, too, it wasn't. Yeah.
And there are some artifacts from those eras still floating around. All right. Jeff Romney is here. We're talking archaeology museum and how unique it is in the world. We're going to find out more about that because I don't know of any other archaeology museums. We'll have to get into that. We need to take a break here. And in so doing, we're going to go into what we call our trivia time here. Are you ready for this?
We're being trivial.
Ah, yes, we are very trivial. We give away these DVDs. We're going to Pepe's the certificates for both hours today.
Yes.
I went out to see Pepe yesterday. He's raring to go. Go out and see him. He has got catering potential you may need to check into.
Yeah, I know. And his food is really great. In fact, you really should. When next time you get out to Pepe's, when you walk in the door, ask for their radio-free salsa sampler. It's a special that they've worked with us in KTSM Radio. And you'll receive a bowl of chips and four small bowls of Pepe's special sauces, the chili con carne, chili con queso, the red and green enchilada salsa. And tell them, yes, you heard about this on KTSM 690 News Radio.
Do you know why he did that? He did that because he saw people coming in trying to, well, what does this restaurant taste like?
Yeah.
So he puts down all of his sauces.
Oh, he's a great guy.
He's smart, though. He makes them order food first. Then he puts down all the sauces, puts out a bowl of chips, and says, hey, what do you think? And you could taste the entire restaurant just by doing that.
Well, you can
he'll give it to you without ordering something else, but, I mean, that's just, it
works
out.
It's like when you get order enchiladas. You want red or green? I order diversiado, so I get red and green. That means red and green, and hopefully an egg on top, so...
Oh, one thing just to mention as we get into trivia, Patricia Kidney, she's in Lincoln, New Mexico today.
Yes, hanging out with Billy the Kid.
Bless her heart, they're having big Lincoln Kids Days up there this weekend. And so you want to get up there this afternoon, she'll be there, or tomorrow. And she's calling this the Shady Lady Boudoir exhibit.
Yes.
What exactly is she showing?
I don't know what she's showing this time. I didn't get a chance to find out.
Lady,
but trust me, it could be anything with Patricia.
Let me say her boudoir.
But she does an excellent presentation.
And then she hits you.
Actually, what it is, she talks about all the different shady ladies of the Southwest that she works
with. She's very good at that stuff.
Lottie and
here's what she said. She'll be out there harassing the cowboys and the soldiers from Fort Stanton, as well as Judge Roy Bean, who's Ken Smith, and Doc Dakota, Albert Burnham. These are all your buddies.
No.
Acquaintances.
No, I won't admit to it. No. We're all members of Six Guns and Shady Ladies.
This will freak her out. Call her up. 241-6285. This is an El Paso number, so you can call her for free. Yeah. And she'll be up there in Lincoln and say, what? Why are you on my phone? Oh, that idiot at the radio station.
I'm busy harassing soldiers
right now.
He did that.
All right, ask these questions. Let's get out of here.
Okay, so our first trivia question this hour is, the El Paso Museum of History and the El Paso Museum of Archaeology both deal with our history. What determines which museum will exhibit what part of El Paso history?
Don't answer that.
Okay.
Well, you could, though. You know the answer.
I do.
I'll tell you what I've been told, but we have to ask the audience first. Jeff Romney's here. We're not going to ask him.
See the phones lighting up going.
Well, not yet. But how do they decide what history goes where?
Which one comes first?
Yeah. There you go. Well, it's just a matter. But where's the dividing line?
I mean, you know, it could be pretty deep. Yeah.
You want a big deal on a DVD or $20 worth of Pepe's? What do you do?
Give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
September 23rd and 24th at T-Mobile Arena, the legend returns to Las Vegas.
Once again,
it's our iHeartRadio Music Festival. 16 artists, including U2, Florida Georgia Line, Billy Idol, Britney Spears, and more. Tickets are sold out. Win them starting Monday.
Brought to you by Macy's. Macy's presents your opening act at the iHeartRadio Music Festival. Rising star winner, Los 5. For new music and exclusive content from Los 5 and other hot artists, check out M-Style Radio on iHeartRadio at iHeartRadio.com/M-Style Radio.
You know, my dad always told me, be proud of where you're from. So when it was time to start my business, I looked no further than right here in the town where I grew up.
ElPasoHelpWanted.com helps local businesses by helping them find their next great employee.
I mean, the people who live here, they're my neighbors. I know them. I trust them.
At ElPasoHelpWanted.com, it's easier than ever to post your job and start getting applicants instantly.
You know, without my hometown, my business just wouldn't be the same. And I think it works both ways.
ElPasoHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Go to work. Spend 8 hours staring at a computer screen. Go home and start it all over the next day.
Time to get out of this rut.
This time, go to work and log on to iHeartRadio.com. iHeartRadio.com lets you listen to your favorite stations and music absolutely free. It makes your workday feel like a fun day. Almost. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. iHeartRadio.com.
Are you tired of exposing your retirement to stock market risk? Call 844-371-7233. That's 844-371-SAFE for your free Safe Money book. And join Javier Garcia for the Safe Money Radio Show, Sundays from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on News Radio 690.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot of things going on to tell you about. We're going to tell you about one right here, about an exhibit opening today. And this is the Welcome Home Vietnam Vets, a tribute and recognition to our Vietnam vets. And it's going to run today through November 11th. And it's free admission, Museum of History. Welcome Home El Paso Vietnam Vets, a tribute and recognition to those who explore the history and personal stories and experiences during the Vietnam War from local veterans. And such items on display as maps, coins, weapons, clothing, other stuff. 212-3164 for information. But I will tell you, that is part of a much larger Vietnam Vet Welcoming Home event that's coming.
That's great.
Real quick. Shelly, I need those phone calls now. What you got here? Okay. And they're both trivia? In that order? Here we go. What's that trivia question?
The trivia question is, the El Paso Museum of History and the El Paso Museum of Archaeology both deal with our history. What determines which museum will exhibit what part of El Paso history?
We got Joe on the radio. Morning, Joe.
Hello there, guys.
Hey, guy.
How's it
How
going?
How are you doing?
Surviving well. And you?
Well, me, that, for some of you, so do I.
Well, we're all here together on the other side of yesterday. So what's going on here? Do you know that question? They have all this history that happened in this valley. You have two major museums in the city system that deal with history. Where do they call the dividing line of which history goes into which museum?
Well, I think one has to deal with people and the other one deals with minerals.
No, I wish you were right. There are people all over archaeology museum, dude. No, that's not it. But thank you for trying. I'll give you another guess. No, you're not going to take one. Okay, bye. Bye, Joe. Now we're going to go to Emma. Emma, we got you on the radio. You want to hear their question again?
Yes, please.
Okay. The El Paso Museum of History and the El Paso Museum of Archaeology both deal with our history. What determines which museum will exhibit what part of El Paso history?
Yeah, turn your radio down. Goodness gracious. We're hearing ourselves.
Okay. What is the oldest? Probably. Which one is the oldest? Probably the archaeologist. The oldest findings or the oldest history. Archaeology probably the predominant answer.
But what? How do you decide what piece of history goes into which museum? What's the determining factor? Let's say you had something from the 1920s. Would that go in the archaeology museum? No.
Age.
Right. So give me the date at which they decide which goes on which side and which goes on the other side. There is an answer to this.
Oh, I don't know then. I'm sorry.
Well, thanks for trying. We appreciate it.
I was a little confused myself.
Be thinking about this. Jeff, do you understand the question?
I do. Yes.
Okay, we'll give you the food.
That's because he's got an in. Come on.
We'll give you the food. Let me give the food to Pepe's.
Well, okay. Let me say that the Archaeology Museum is an anthropological museum, and basically anthropology is a study of human culture. Archaeology specifically is a sub-branch of that, meaning the study of past cultures. Okay, so the Archaeology Museum predominantly focuses on cultures that used to be but no longer are. But sometimes we also have what we call ethnographic exhibitions of living cultures, you know, the modern-day Pueblo, the modern-day Apache groups, et cetera. So
that is different.
That's a little different, but we do deal with human culture.
Let me give you the answer that I was told when they put the History Museum in.
Yeah, go
ahead. Okay, here's the big deal. It's the Entrada of 1598.
Yes.
Is that about right?
About the time that the Spanish came, that's when prehistory, as it were, ends in this context. And so that's kind of the unofficial demarcation line.
That's it.
I understood what he was talking about.
1598 determines what goes in which museum, generally speaking. And now what you're doing cultural stuff at archaeology that reaches into today's people.
Correct.
Today's public. Okay, correct. Fair enough. Oh, exciting stuff. We're expecting a call from Bernie any minute now.
Bernie, the ribbon cutting is going right now. He just texted us, so we'll call
him. We'll catch up with him in
a
minute. Yeah. We got to take a break anyway. What the heck is that phone number?
Call us at 915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM, or visit us at Facebook, El Paso History Radio Show.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in El Paso and Las Cruces? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the El Paso and Las Cruces area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. El Paso and Las Cruces are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-266-2063. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-266-2063. That's 1-800-266-2063.
September 23rd and 24th at T-Mobile Arena, the legend returns to Las Vegas.
Once again,
it's our iHeartRadio Music Festival. 16 artists, including U2, Florida Georgia Line, Billy Idol, Britney Spears, and more. Tickets are sold out. Win them starting Monday.
Brought to you by Mazda and the 2017 Mazda CX-3. Music and driving go together like concerts and summer, like open windows and the open road. Music makes driving better. Mazda. Driving matters.
To all you parents sending your kids off to college, do us a favor. Invest in some good bedding. The Company Store has things like mattress toppers that make any bed feel like a spa. And remember, this is about protecting your investment in your flesh and blood. College is expensive, and we need sleep to learn, and sleep is hard to come by here. But hey, it's your call.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting a good night's sleep for over 100 years. Visit TheCompanyStore.com to see our full line of college bedding and more. Enter the code CAMPUS and get 15% off your order plus free shipping.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now, more of
The El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Big things going on downtown all over the place. This one we're talking about is a Plaza Classic Film Festival featuring Giant. It's a film today. The whole thing goes through August 14th, but the movie Giant is actually being shown today at 6 p.m. There are other things going on with it. We'll get to those details in a minute. But just so you know, you can get a $200 pass and go see any of them,
all of them, and keep going until you go crazy.
Otherwise, some of those are they're priced individually. Giant itself is $10. Yeah. PlazaClassic.com. And what do you have?
Well, to continue the story, you've got A Giant Story. When Hollywood Came to West Texas is on exhibit at the El Paso Museum of History right now, and it's a free admission program. And the El Paso Museum of History, the Community Foundation, and Plaza Classic Film Festival got together to put this presentation up as a special story on the Giant movie, which was filmed, of course, down in Marfa. There's costumes on loan from the Warner Brothers archives that were worn by Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, James Dean. And do you know he died only 8 days after filming the last scene? In fact, they called it The Last Supper because of the banquet scene. Yeah, I know. And they've got photos, production art, documents from the George Stevens collection. And we also have some locals, Wally Check, who worked as a waitress in the Marfa shoot, and Nancy Hamilton, who covered the premiere for the El Paso Times. So it's a great exhibit. It's down at the El Paso Museum of History, running through till September 18th, and the museum's located at 510 North Santa Fe Street.
Okay, there's that exhibit. Today at 5 p.m. Philanthropy Theater, they're going to have a talk on this movie, and that's free. The talk is free, and then the Giant thing costs you $10, but it's in the performance. The big one's in the performance hall. The talk is in the Philanthropy Theater, and all Sunday the 7th, the Zip Tour, A Giant Story When Hollywood Came to West Texas. Doug Pullen's going to run that, and I'm not sure where it's going to be. Oh, it's going to be In the exhibit hall there, I believe. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot going on there. Go to their website, and you can see what they're doing for the Plaza Classic Film Festival. A lot going on there. All right, Jeff Romney's in the house, and we got Bernie Sargent in the field. Bernie Sargent has a report. Bernie, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you doing?
We're doing well here. What are you up to? You're into something this morning already. What is it?
You betcha. I'm down here along with my fellow vets commemorating the Vietnam War and the end of it, and kind of giving some recognition to the folks that didn't get any back in 1968 through 74.
What location are you?
I'm at the Museum of History. They got a great display. They just opened up this morning. They had ribbon cutting. We had probably close to 200 people here, vets and friends and family. It's just a fantastic event.
This is going to be that month because there's other things coming toward the end of the month in conjunction with that exhibit, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me throw this. I'm going to give the phone to Patty Oliva. She's one of the prime organizers, and she can talk a little bit about everything else that's coming online.
Patty, good morning.
Hello, this is Patty Oliva.
Hi,
good
Patty.
Morning. You got Melissa Sargent, Jackson Polk here with you. I friended you on Facebook last week. I need to talk to you.
She's a good lady.
Because we got to get you in here to talk about what you're about to say. Now, talk about the Vietnam events that you're into.
Okay, well, today we're down at the History Museum, and we're unveiling the exhibit that will be here through Veterans Day. Well, about the Vietnam veterans. A lot of the veterans have brought in memorabilia from the Vietnam War, and it's such an emotional exhibit for the veterans and for myself, too.
What part of the museum is that in?
It's upstairs.
Upstairs, that part. Well, that sounds like a great place. And that's the Museum of History of El Paso downtown.
Yes, sir, right across the street from the Chihuahua Stadium.
All right, I need to talk to you sometime during the week. You're going to come in here on the 20th of August, right?
I would love to.
I think, no, I'm sorry, it's the 13th. That's the 13th, I believe. I'll talk, that's why I need to talk to you. I had to go get my sheet and talk about
it. He's already got your plan, Daddy.
But no, we're going to talk about the things toward the end of the month. There's a huge celebration. There's a parade. The Coliseum is going to be active. And you're starting it off today with a Museum of History exhibit about the Vietnam veterans.
Correct. And on the 27th at the Chihuahua Stadium, it's open to the public. We're having a carnival. And then after dark, we're going to show the Star Wars movie.
Oh, boy.
And all the vendors will be open for people that want to eat. They can buy food there. We're really urging the public to come out on the 28th for the parade to honor the veterans. It starts at 10.
And we'll have more of that with you when you come in here.
Okay, perfect.
And I appreciate your call. I did put Bernie back on for a quick second.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Patty. Good to talk to you.
Welcome home, Vietnam veterans.
Thank you, Patty, for what you're doing.
Hello.
It's about time, Bernie. Thank you.
Absolutely about time. You bet.
Thank you for your service, dude. That's all I had to say.
Oh, yeah, I have something to say. It's very historical, though, that I want to keep my husband on the phone. Happy 35th anniversary to my lovely husband, Bernie Sargent. Our anniversary is on Monday.
Happy do. Go
so
for it.
So we're very historical.
And very hysterical. Congratulations.
Kind of like archaeology, you know?
Indeed. We don't want to rummage in all that past, though, do we?
Yes, we do.
Bernie, thanks a lot. You take her easy.
I'll see you guys soon.
Talk to you.
Very good. Well, that's a lot going on down there. That's a museum of history. And I wish we could just lift a parking lot and set it right next to that museum, because that's a great museum. It's just getting there is a challenge.
We
but
need to have
trolley.
Our studios in one of the archaeology museum
but
or the Museum.
But the trolley. Well, we talked about one time doing this show out of the History Museum. We just never got very far with that. But in the meantime, so. Hey, Serkey, are we doing a break here or should we just move on? You need one more break over? No, not yet. So, Jeff Romney, you just heard all this. You see we're pushing the museums as we can because it's El Paso history. What are your thoughts? I mean, you just heard all this.
Well, there's a lot going on in town. That's for sure. I've seen so much over the last 10 years that I've been working downtown and everything. There's everything from the trolleys, baseball stadium, museums. I mean, we're really blossoming and booming here, and it's really great to
Exploding.
See.
Exploding.
The big corner that was turned, I think, was when the people who own the downtown buildings finally realized they're worth more standing.
Yeah.
And what floored me was those guys didn't understand that. And they were being mad. Oh, you kept telling me what to do with my building. Well, dude, you're going to make a lot more money if you leave it up. Oh, and they figured that out after knocked two or three of them down. God. So anyway, that corner's been turned. You got the baseball going on. You got the plaza back up. You got Pokemon. You got an arts district all over downtown. Now what we need is an historic district, because downtown El Paso is incredibly historic.
Right.
You can find Mexican Revolution on every corner. History there. On and on and on. So now we got you, and you've been with the MCAD system. And you've seen all this go on. You saw the arts district develop. What chance do you think we have of getting a history district down there?
Well, I hope in time we will. I mean,
makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, they recently, announced some renovation of some of the hotels downtown too, which
huge
is going to be huge, and it's going to be great for conventions and for the museums that are right there, et cetera. So there's so much going on, and there's interest, I think, in the community with preserving our cultural heritage, our architecture, et cetera. So it's really good to see.
Oh, absolutely. Let's turn our attention now back out to Northeast, where the Museum of Question is, and that's the one you're now running. A good 3 days' worth you've been running it. I wish you a long term there, because that's a fascinating museum. And as we talked about, do you know of any other museums of archaeology anywhere in the country? I mean, I can't think of any. I'm not that well traveled, but I don't know of any.
Oh, there's quite a number of archaeological museums in the country. Regionally, we have a small but very nice museum not too far from here to our west called the Amarin Foundation. Mm-hmm. It's right there by Benson, Arizona. They have a very nice collection. They're the foundation that excavated the Pacime ruins years ago.
Aha, this is what you know about. You know about all that kind of stuff. But I mean, basically, the thought is that there really isn't that much focus in people's minds in other cities on archaeology.
Well, we have a nice Centennial Museum, too, here that has a vast collection of archaeological artifacts.
Well, then in Phoenix, you have some excellent, all throughout Arizona.
Tucson. Yeah.
A lot of museums.
What we have, we need to keep and we need to push. How can we help you get that archaeology museum better known? We're doing what we can here.
Well, first and foremost, I greatly appreciate, again, the opportunity of coming on to talk with you today and talk to El Paso community.
And come back, too.
Well, thank you. I'd love to at every opportunity. It's important to have a museum of archaeology out there. We do have Native American communities here in town. We are telling their story as much as, it's El Paso history, but it's also Native American history. So I look forward to working with our Native American communities in town and in the region, and I hope they'll be active in participating in dialogue and also in what goes on out there. Basically, I'm really big on the notion that we can't understand our present if we don't understand our past. And our past goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, clear back to the Paleo-Indian period and before, which is 10,000-12,000 years ago. So,
do you buy into the stuff out in the desert, out at the cave that Scotty McNeish found in the Otero Mesa? 19,000-year handprint in the stone in a clay hearth. The clay had an imprint of a human hand.
Yep.
And they dated the stuff in the clay as 19,000 years old. What do you think of that?
It's certainly plausible. I mean, there's so much coming out in the Western United States with recent discoveries. I mean, some of the oldest human remains have been found on the Channel Islands off of California now. Yeah. that have greatly pushed back the dates. We recently pushed back the dates for when corn arrived in the Southwest. Now we're looking at 2,000 years B.C., which pushed it out way back into history. So it just seems like every time we think we know something, something new comes up and it rewrites history. So it's a fascinating thing to look into.
Plus, technology has changed a lot in how you date.
Correct.
Whereas you had carbon dating is still used, correct?
Absolutely.
But there's other types of technology now that they're using with lasers and some other items, am I correct?
Well, yeah, you can also, you can date when pottery is fired. You can date when lithics are chipped through obsidian hydration and other techniques. I mean, there's a lot of different techniques that archaeologists and historians use to date things. We have tree ring dating. There's a lot of tools at our disposal nowadays. Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of funny because, like you said, now we're going farther back. It's kind of like when you look at the future, you discover new things as you go into the future. But at that same pace, you're going backwards and discovering new things in the past.
Right. It's fascinating.
Has anybody ever found a Manso or Suma campsite that they can be sure that's what it was? I mean, there's Pueblo remains all over the place. You have the Firecracker Pueblo out there on 54, named because it showed up next to the firecracker stand.
Well, and anytime people live in an area, regardless of time, they're going to leave evidence of that, whether it's housing structure or fire pits or agave roasting pits, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure there are villages that have been documented out there for the Manso period. I'm not exactly aware.
That's not your study background, right?
I haven't studied that particular part of history too much, but look forward to looking into it.
Well,
myself.
Let's look into it because, I mean, that'd be neat to find out.
Right.
Well, that's like the people at Keystone. We're not quite sure exactly where the relationship they are is to the rest of the Southwest and the peoples of Mexico, as well as the Mogollon and such from there. There's some rumor that they could be also part of the Southwest or Arizona groups. Being the Hopis and some of the other tribes up there, but we don't know for sure. And the only way to do it, of course, is to eventually excavate, which we hope to do someday.
Well, the Mogollon and also the ancestral Pueblo, and is what we call them now, formerly known as the Anasazi, are definitely cousins, if you will. They have a lot of shared cultural traits and ceramics and basketry, et cetera. When you look at the past, the Pueblos, the ancient Pueblos pretty much came to a close around 1400, 1450, and it's about that time that the modern-day Pueblos started taking their formation up in the upper Rio Grande.
But are they connected?
They're absolutely connected.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can you explain the term Anasazi? A lot of people think that's a specific term to specific people.
That's the ancient ones.
The word means the ancients. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't realize. I think it's the name of a tribe.
Or another way to say it, they're so old, we don't know what they did.
Yeah, it kind of encompasses a lot of
those
different
are the
peoples, correct?
Yeah.
We got nothing on them.
The Anasazi, as it's commonly known, are basically the ancestors of the modern-day Pueblo people, for the most part, from what we know.
Yeah.
Great history.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you going to start writing books?
Well, I'm going to focus more on the museum at the moment. My focus is going to be in the next 12 to 24 months, I'm really going to be hitting the development issues hard out there. I'd like to raise our membership. I would like to get some grants going. I'd like to start talking to people in the community to get some of our sponsorships up for exhibitions and educational programming. So that's what I've been doing the last 10 years at the Museum of Art, and I'm going to really continue focusing on that, working with our team out there as well. And like we mentioned earlier in our conversation today, long-term strategic plan, we're going to be looking at developing a foundation out there to help support the museum. So there's going to be a lot going on in the next several years, and I really invite everybody to be a part of that.
And I think that's great that you're looking to go outside of the city, because the city has limited dollars, and you need to expand beyond there, and you can get much more quality dollars outside of what the city can give you, unfortunately.
Well, we need to look at state funding. We need to look at federal funding. We need to look at private funding. I mean, we need to look at a whole host of different options.
You're going
to
be busy.
And our general audience, being what they are, is there more understanding of what is the Archaeology Museum? Folks, you need to come support this thing. It's a great location. It's a great place, and the biggest exhibit you can't even walk on because it's got ordnance on it. But that's the Franklin's Mountain Gesner Range.
The thing that everyone could do, and I would certainly invite everyone to consider this, and hope that a lot of you will, is you can join the museum as a member, and memberships start around $20-$25, and they go all the way up. I mean, so whatever fits your budget, we can certainly use. We need your support. We are your museum, so.
And you have a newsletter.
And we do have a newsletter. We haven't had one in quite some time, but there will be an issue of the newsletter coming out in the fall. So I'm going to get that back on track, and we're going to move forward with that.
Got some thoughts to do after the break. We've got to take one more break. Jeff Romney's here. He is the new director of the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, and I think we're fortunate to have such a museum. And thank you for being out there. We'll talk a bit more after this. Facebook, anybody looking at us?
Oh,
on
we've got, let me get over there.
While you're thinking about it, yes. Next hour we're going to talk big history as well with the Celebration of the Mountains people.
That's right.
Eric Kappas, Dr. Eric Kappas to you, dude. He's got his PhD already since I saw him last.
He's really important.
And he is the guy who wanders the desert with no shoes. Let's see how that's going.
Yeah. Oh, we've got, speaking of archaeology, Val Provincio's likes our page, and she listens to our show. She's an archaeologist with the Water District.
Water Crowd.
Yeah.
And the other guy coming in next hour, he's a city representative named James Talbert.
Yeah, and you got Harry Kirk's checking us out, Georgette Hobbs, all kinds of cool people out there listening to this show.
And Jim is a city rep. He's busy, but he's still going to celebrate our mountains.
He's
how about
a good,
that?
Yeah,
that's
you
next
can never
hour.
Get him off the mountain.
Next hour here on the show. Call us up if you think so.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in El Paso and Las Cruces? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the El Paso and Las Cruces area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. El Paso and Las Cruces are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-266-2063. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-266-2063. That's 1-800-266-2063.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-700-2629. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-700-2629. 1-800-700-2629.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Now, more
of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Lots going on here. Jeff Romney's in the house for a few more minutes. Couple things to tell you about. The annual birthday party for Southern Pacific Locomotive number 3420. These people are going to get together and celebrate the El Paso treasure, known as 3420 Locomotive, Sunday, August the 14th. Railroad Museum joining with the Southwest Chapter to open. This is going to be an open exhibit at the International Museum of Art. Get down there, check it out, the tribute to the great age of steam. What you got?
The El Paso Archaeological Society is presenting My Ancestors, the Mansos by Cruz Camargo, and that's going to be August 20th at 2 p.m., and it'll be in the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. Aha, here we are talking about that.
What a coincidence.
Yes. Cruz Camargo, an El Pasoan businessman and descendant of the indigenous Manso tribe of El Paso region, shares his heritage and details of his life that lived before the arrival of the Spanish in this area. The presentation is free and open to the public. And again, that's August 20th at 2 p.m. at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology.
Other big programs coming to the El Paso Museum of Archaeology, Jeff Romney, are?
Well, next Saturday, we're going to have our first ever Archaeological Family Day at the museum. We're very excited about this. It's going to be from 10 till 3 on the 13th of August. And we invite families, everyone of all ages, to come out. We're going to have a range of activities, including mock excavations, where people can learn how archaeologists do their work and have a chance to dig up some prehistoric artifacts. We're also going to have pictograph face painting, desert animal effigy puppet making. We'll be making pots using pinch clay. We'll be learning about how sedimentary rock is formed and how different layers over time are formed in the record. Using an edible component, which will be a lot of fun. Basically,
Wait a minute. You can make a layer cake and eat it. Is that it?
It's edible sediment.
Right. We're going to be using graham crackers, marshmallows, and chocolate candies to do that. So,
it's a diet earth.
Yeah.
You can learn how to do archery, atlatl dart throwing, and also we're going to be making seed bombs, which are going to have...
A seed bomb?
Yeah, poppy seeds are going to be in there, and we're going to let kids make bombs and throw these seed bombs around to help plant poppies in the surrounding area.
Yeah.
So
you throw them out, and they kind of explode out.
Yeah, so next Saturday, 10 to 3, come and join us.
If you have a car that you want to donate for a purpose of, say an atlatl throw, do you think you could put a dart through a car door? I'm told you could put a dart through a car door if you know how to run those things.
Well, if you have somebody that's experienced in using the weapon, it certainly is possible within range. I would think so.
Because you have that diorama inside your museum. You walk in, you take a right, and you get these permanent dioramas in there. And there's a baby in there getting killed.
A baby getting killed?
Yeah. What is that thing? It's a
mammoth?
Yes.
Yes. Well, yeah, when you go to the museum, you'll see some of...
Well, I don't mean to make it sound so negative, but you couldn't fit a full-size...
No, you're saying a baby getting killed. He's what?
You can't put a full-size mammoth in that building. The biggest they could fit...
A baby mammoth getting killed.
Oh, yes. That's what it was.
That's what threw him off.
That's what it was.
I was getting nervous there for a minute.
So was I, because I couldn't remember the word mammoth, but now you hit it. So the baby mammoth is one of the dioramas, and those guys are going to eat that thing, so they're going to chop it up.
Absolutely. You know, the Museum of Archaeology has some of the nicest dioramas in the region that I've ever seen. So if you haven't seen them before, come out. They're a lot of fun to look at. We have the diorama of the Paleo-Indian hunters, hunting the mammoths. We also have another big diorama where you can look in and see the Pueblo cliff dwelling type things. We have another diorama where you can see the pit houses and how those were constructed.
And old Apache-looking people.
And also an Apache diorama where you can see some of the mountain spirit dancers.
Get out there and take a look at this, because this is the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. It's on Trans Mountain Road. Address, give or take, is something we need to tell you people, because I'm looking for it as we speak. But it's out there. It's one of those you can't miss it kind of thing.
Well, plus also on our Facebook page, we have a picture of one of the dioramas.
That's right.
It's out there looking at us now.
And anyway, take a look. Get out the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. Jeff Romney will be there. And next Saturday is the big family day, so don't miss that. Yeah. Jeff, thanks for coming in here, dude. We're about done with this.
Yeah, well, thank you. We're located at 4301 Trans Mountain Road, and our phone number is 915-755-4332.
Call them up now. Get in the Adel line and see if you can put your... your dart through the door, not my door.
That's my
bring your own
my
car.
Brain, yeah.
Jeff, thanks a lot. We'll see you out in
Thank
the desert.
You. Thank
thanks
you
a lot,
much.
Everybody. Next hour, dinosaurs. Well, the guy who found the tracks anyway.
Dino-man.
And the celebration of our mountains.
That's
see
it.
You then.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.